song with you this morning. Let's sing this out together.
The Lord my God is with me. He's the mighty one who saves me. He delights in me with songs of joy. He surrounds me with his love.
Everybody stand up. Let's praise the Lord today.
Yeah.
And as the nations rise and fall, your sovereignty remains.
rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power.
Come close Nothing can compare. You're our living hope in your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, let's welcome him this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope in your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your presence, let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Oh. Holy Spirit.
become more aware of your presence. Look, God, we just want to become more aware of your presence in a world that has so much going on, and so much is in our ears and in our eyes. And sometimes, God, just maybe many times, it's very difficult to see that you are even here or even care. And so, God, as we are in this time that there are people struggling with all kinds of things, that, God, we all bring something to the table of Sunday morning. We all bring something to the table of worship, but there's a good thing. And it's a great thing to know that, God, you've taken all that upon your son's shoulders and bore him on the cross. And so you say, cast your cares upon me. And so, God, right now, that's what we're going to do. We're going to cast them upon you, and we're going to give you praise for who you are. And, God, for those of us who are here, we're going to thank you for the blessings that we have as we take time to continue to worship and glorify you, as we continue in this attitude of worship. That many times, God, we forget about the many blessings that we have and how you've called us to be a blessing to many others. And so for those of us who call this church not for our visitors, you're our guests, but God, if people want to give to you, may you multiply it and use it. But God, I just want to pray right now, because somebody here today needs this song. Somebody needs to know, yes, number one, they're aware of your presence. Number two, they need to know that when everything else has fallen apart, it is well with my soul. And so, God, here we are today as I ask for your blessing upon the offering. But more importantly, God, I ask that you do as this series that we're sharing, which I really believe is from you, that, God, as you're sweeping in to clean house. Last week we talked about spirits, but today we're going to talk about our soul. That, God, there's a lot of emotion and a lot of heart and a lot of things here. And, God, we need your presence to fill it. So, God, do your thing as we just worship you. And we just continue to worship your name.
No more.
Here. And so since the presence of the Lord is here, there's also people here who love the Lord. Amen? Amen. So what I want to do is we're going to say bye to our cave and kids for a while. And I want you to greet people, high five somebody and tell them you look good and good seeing you.
Good morning. This week's scripture is from The Message, the book of Psalms, chapter 42, verse 5. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God.
If you will, let's join in prayer today. We have a couple of prayer requests that we have here. Rhonda Elkins has asked for prayers for a brother-in-law who is 93. Is that correct? 93. Wow. Who is in the hospital with pneumonia. And then on the other side of life, a four-year-old boy in Wyoming with a bone infection. So we want to continue to lift that little boy in your prayers. Looks like Victoria Sheets has a new great niece, Emily, and is facing a bone marrow transplant and battling leukemia. And pray for her daughter and her children as her husband has passed. We also want to lift up Kendall Bursler, who's had some health issues. We want to continue to lift her and Jess and the entire family in your prayers. And do we have any other prayer requests? I couldn't remember if we had some right off the bat, but we want to go. We want to lift up Vince Bamba, who had a stint in the hospital this week, and also Jim Thompson, who is also battling some things in the hospital. Yes.
Pray for Rachel.
Yeah, my Rachel. This week, she decided to have us go to the hospital again, second time in a year. We thank God that Rachel did not have a stroke this time, and we weren't in the Dominican Republic this time, but we're thanking God that she is normal, and anybody knows Rachel knows she's not normal, okay? She takes after her dad, so let's go to the Lord in prayer, all right? Heavenly Father, we can just come to you today, and there's so many needs. God, I just believe, and I know that there are so many other sorts of prayers and concerns that we have here. And God, you know the unspoken needs. You know the ones that are spoken. But regardless of all things, as we know what the scripture says, when everything else fails, you are still God. And so we come to you now for those who are on one side of life. The one side of life is that they're enjoying old age and enjoying it to the fullest at 93. Yet, God, we know that there are also some complications with health. And then we go to the other side where we have a four-year-old who's dealing with that dreaded disease, leukemia, and people dealing with the loss of a husband and other kinds of things. God, there are so many needs. But as we just sang, as I'm reminded about Horatio Spofford, who, as he went to the spot where the ship went down and he lost his wife and children, that he was able to say, it is well with his soul, because he trusted in you that this was not the end, that he would see them again because of their faith in you. And so, God, whatever we're dealing with here today, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to come, because many of us may be in a situation where it's not well with our soul. And so, God, today we want you to clean house. Clean house in our soul, clean house in our lives, and really bring to us the presence and that life that you have called for us. And for this and all things, we give you praise. And everybody says, amen, amen. All right, so a couple announcements and things that I want to touch on as we look at our schedule. There is youth group today, just to let you know, there is youth group. So it says no, but there we'll meet. You have an insert about grief share, surviving the holidays. Everyone deals with grief. That may be what you're dealing with right now. And I'm going to tell you, this is an awesome thing to connect and really help people heal with that grief and every other kind of thing. It doesn't just need to be loss. It could be a number of things. So we want you to connect with that. Yes, we are going to begin to get things ready for Operation Christmas Child. Yes, it's coming. Christmas is coming. Get ready. And so you can read the other kinds of things about different small groups that we have. The one on Thursday night, that's a public reading of scripture. And then there's also a small group that is going to begin Andy Stanley's book, Follow. And Andy Stanley is a gift to the church, and so we want to remember everyone in prayers as well. And there's a couple other things I want to touch on today. Let me find my thing here. Here we go. I'm going to ask right now that the ushers are going to ush and push things out to you. They're going to give you a card, and this is important, because what we are launching today is we're launching 14 days of prayer. okay? We're going to launch a commitment of 14 days of prayer. I told you God had been working on me, and it starts today and continues through August 25th. That's 2 weeks from today. And so we want you to pray. Some of you remember, sometimes, and we're going to do this a lot more because God has really spoken to me about making a commitment to prayer that we have before, at the beginning of the year, launched prayer and fasting. Anybody remember that? If you don't, you can fast again, and I guarantee it'll come back to you, okay? So we talked about prayer and fasting. August is going to be prayer and feasting, okay? So everybody say hallelujah, right? So you can go ahead and cook on that grill. And so we are launching this today, and I have this for a very special thing. I want you to, it has a place for your name. If you're not comfortable with that, I'm fine with that. Go ahead and just, you can put an initial and prayer request. If you don't want your email, that's fine too. That's just other information. But what we're going to do with this, we're not just going to talk about prayer, but what we're going to do is this Wednesday at, ready for this, 6:30 a.m., we are going to meet here for a time of prayer. Okay, we're going to meet here, and I'm going to be here. If it's two or three, guess what? Scripture says where two or three are gathered, so is the Lord. So I'm going to be here. I don't know whether you are, but what I want you to do, even if you cannot be here, I want you to take this prayer request card, fill it out, and then when you leave here, the ushers are going to be there. You just drop it in, and what we're going to do, we're going to have them around, and we're going to have different piles, and people are going to go, and there's going to be a little music, maybe recorded music. It's going to be there. There's going to be, I'm going to say something really brief. I know you're shocked by that. That would be an answer to prayer. But I am going to say something very brief, and then we're going to send you out and let you pray, and then we're going to gather back. I'm going to send you out, and we are going to be right on time, I promise. And we're going to send you out to work or school or whatever you're doing, but we're going to start the day with prayer. We're going to do that Wednesday at what time? 6:30 a.m. in the morning. And then just to let you know as well, we're also going to do it on Saturday at 9 a.m. So we're going to have 2 days this week, and it's going to be different. So if you come one day on Wednesday, you can come back because it's going to be completely different on Saturday. And we're going to do that for the next 2 weeks because we have how many days of prayer? I got you. How many days of prayer?
14.
How many days of prayer?
14.
There we go. There we go. So everybody good? Everybody know what you're doing? So, because we want, what we really need to do is, a lot of times I've had people say to me, is there anything else I can do except pray? No, that's the thing we need to do first of all. And so we need to pray first. So I'm excited about this, and I want you guys to be excited about it too. Everybody good? Okay, so hopefully I'll see you on the 14th. 6:30. If not, I will be here, and God and I will pray, and it'll be awesome. All right, so that's what I want you to do. Everybody good?
Yep.
All right, so we are in week two of our series, Clean House, and we were talking about how, you know how, like, when you, at times in life, when you begin to move from one place to the other, or you may want to be one of those people that goes ahead and just moves stuff from one place to another. Anybody? Like, you might move it from the basement to the attic, or you might move it to the shed and to the car and then back in. How many of you have ever loaded up the back of your car for stuff for Goodwill and it sits in there for like months and months and months? Anybody? All right, there you go. You can repent of that today. It's okay. All right, so we have those kind of things. But we're talking about cleaning house. And as we read last week, our houses, the house of the Holy Spirit, is our bodies. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And last week we talked about what I believe is the most important to begin, is cleaning out our spirit. And we talked about cleaning some things out and adding some things in. So what I'm giving you in the series is stuff we remove and stuff we put back in. Because, like, if you've ever had really old furniture, we had this sectional couch in our house forever. And it was so bad that the springs broke, and on the love seat side, which just had two seats, the kids used to call it that they would sit in the hole, okay? Which meant that they were almost on the ground. Anybody have one of those old couches? Okay, so when we have those things, we don't like to get rid of them. But when we finally got rid of that, what do we have to do? Bring something in so that we could sit there. And something better. It has no hole yet. All right, but we have those kind of things. So that's what we want to do. We want to go ahead and do that. And what we realize is we are perfect at that point of salvation. God has taken us, cleaned us, made us well. But then what starts to happen as we do this journey of life, we start to collect some things. And we start to collect some more things. And we said some of us are a bit of spiritual hoarders, that we hold on to stuff that we shouldn't have. Today, we're going to talk about the soul. And the soul is your will, your intellect, and emotions. Now, I'm not going to ask because somebody may be sitting next to you, but there may be somebody in here. I'm just going to go on a limb that somebody in this room is a little bit emotional. That they're a little emotional on one side, that they're always up and happy and they drive you absolutely batty, or they are on the other side that they, Murphy's Law, anything can go bad, it will. Or they are both and you don't know which day you're getting who. Am I right? So wherever we are, there is this emotion. And our souls can actually become so filled with junk that it becomes toxic. And so our theme verse, again, let's look at our theme verse that here from 2 Corinthians. It says, do not be yoked. And that is a churchy word. It's actually a farm word, but yoked. But actually the Greek term is koinonia. It means close to. It means right next to and with and together. And so what it's saying is this. Do not be closely intertwined or together with unbelievers. And then they begin to ask some questions. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? The answer to that is nothing. And then, or what does can fellowship of light have with darkness? The answer to that is nothing. You guys are good. Next one. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, which is basically Satan? The answer is nothing. There we go. What does the believer have in common with the unbeliever? Nothing. There we go. So we have this pattern that is continuing. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? And at this point, we kind of get this one. We kind of get this point. We go, oh, okay, what that means is like, I don't want to do something like take something into the church that's bad, right? Like some of you may have grown up like in what you got to wear. Oh, I'm not going to wear that in church, but on Saturday night, man, you're boom, popping it out and letting it go, right? So we do that, but I'm not wearing that to church on Sunday, although we've all been part of churches where people do it. Amen? All right, there you go. So we have that, but we get that kind of thing where, take your hat off in church. Unless you're Jewish, put a hat on in church, all right? And then leave your keep your shoes on. Or we say, take them off, I'm on holy ground. Or we say, I'm Muslim in a mosque and I'm taking off my shoes. So we're all putting on, doing whatever in this whole kind of thing. So we get that. But now it says, as God has said, and here's what God says. God says this. Here's his promise. God talks. I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So he started this whole process by saying, don't be yoked. Don't be closely intertwined. Don't get yourself so intertwined with stuff that doesn't match. And he says, here's why. Because I want to be the one that you walk hand in hand with. I want to be the one you have the close fellowship with. I want to be intertwined with you. Everybody with me? Okay, so that's what he's saying. Therefore, come out of the out from them and be separate, says the Lord. So in other words, let's get rid of some of this junk. Continue. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. I will be your, here's the promise, I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So here is this promise and here is where we are here. So, and then he continues on again. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us, and this is the key part, purify ourselves from everything that does what? Contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So in other words, that says God wants us to clean house so that we can spend time with him and be close to him. Okay? So today, I want to talk about a soul cleaning. All right? Anybody, when you see the term soul, want to go, the soul train, anybody? All right, that's what I want to do. Okay? So we're all going to get on the let's try it again. We're all going to get on the
soul.
Yeah, that's good. Awesome. All right. I love it. This is a position you can get people to do pretty much anything, you know, just let you know. All right. So we need a soul cleaning if this is our verse. And let's look at this from Psalms, the book of Psalms 42. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Anybody been there? Why are you down in the dumps? Why are you crying the blues? Anybody cried the blues? Yep. Okay, why are you there? You see, our heart and soul is messed up. And if our emotions are messed up, it affects everything else. It'll affect the spirit, it'll affect the body, it'll affect all that. So we need to get our soul, our will, our intellect, and our emotions in line so that everything else is good. Because I can know Christ well. I can really know about Christ, but if my emotions are all over the place and if I'm not connected, because sometimes, just actually a lot of times, I don't feel God. I look around me and I don't experience God, and it's not emotional. And sometimes I'm crushed by a lot of things in the world and I need God. And so here's where we are. So what I wanted to do here is I wanted to come up with several soul toxins or soul things that are in a hoarder soul that are clutter and messed up. And I came up with about a list of 50, okay? I just kept coming with them and I said, okay, God, I can't do this. Or the problem is I got a lot of clutter in my soul right now, right here. And so I said, so God, let's bring it down. Let's bring it all down and let's begin to find some of the main points that I think you really want me to touch on. And I got about four here today and I want to share with them. The number one thing that I think right off the bat is this. It's unforgiveness. If you want something that really clutters up, that leads to a lot of other things, here it is. What we're talking about here is we're talking about bitterness and resentment and how it pollutes our entire soul. Like, for instance, have you ever had, has anybody ever had somebody wrong you in some way? Okay, if you're living and breathing, the answer to that is yes. And so in doing so, what usually happens when you hear that person's going to be around or when you see that person, you have a response pretty quickly that says, oh, I'm going to show them. I'm going to be mad at them. Watch them. There you go. I'm not going with there. Somebody says, hey, did you see Billy? Yeah, I saw Billy. You know what, Billy? Psh, I could care less if I ever see Billy again, right? And this is the condition that we exist in, and we go in and we see, I'm going to be mad. And we get so mad, we get so aggravated, we hold on to this stuff, and guess what? It affects them absolutely not at all. They go on with their lives, and they could care less whether you are upset with them or don't forgive them at all, but we hold on to it. Someone once said, unforgiveness is like setting yourself on fire and hoping the person you don't like dies of smoke inhalation. Okay, that's what we do time and time and time again. And what unforgiveness does, and the scripture is very clear about this, it destroys us and separates us from God, not them. Not them at all. And so here's what it says in Hebrews. It says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that, I love this term, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You see, that one area of life can start a little bit, but it starts to grow and take root and get stronger. There's this tree that we have in our yard that I planted years ago, okay? And just to let you know, one of the kids, they had those little like Power Wheels things. We planted two of those trees, and one of them got run over a lot by those things, a ton. That tree is no longer there. Why? Because it didn't take root and it was ripped out. The other tree, if you hit it with a real car, you're in trouble now because it has roots this big and it bumps across the ground and it's taken over. And that's what unforgiveness tends to do in our lives. It tends to start and build and grow, and before you know it, it's taken over. And so there's times where we just have to often let it go. There was a Sunday school teacher who had a group of kids and one time said, what do you need to do to give forgiveness? And the kids sat there. They said, come on, what do you need to do? And one little kid raised his hand and said, I got it. You got to sin, right? You need to sin. You need to wrong somebody in order to receive that forgiveness. So Jesus was very clear on this. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I will tell you, I'm not forgiving someone, and I'm right about not forgiving them. I'm 100% right about not wanting to forgive somebody. And yet, then Jesus says something that ticks me off. Did the preacher just say Jesus ticked him off? Oh, yes. Hang around this thing called Christianity for a while. It will happen to you. And here's what he said. He said, forgive as you have been forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been forgiven a lot. I don't know about you, but this week, there's a lot I was forgiven about. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul tells us to forgive as Christ forgave us. So here's what you need to do in order to clean this one out. Let them off the hook and move on yourself with God. Number two, And this one you may say, that's kind of weird. You may not think it's there, but I think it's a major one, comparison. Comparison. Comparison is basically, what do others think and what are you doing compared to what they do? And I don't know about you, but we live in a comparison culture. We are in an identity crisis where everybody puts out there stuff that, you ever just seen something and you're like, why them? I'm better than them. Am I the only one? Is this my confession today? Okay, so you will look and you'll see something and you'll be like, oh man, really? They got that job? I am better at that job. They stink. They're horrible. They're nasty people. How did they make it better? And I'm going to be really honest. I do that with other preachers. Like you see like stuff's going well and you're like, that person is a jerk. That person has about this much grace of God. And then I got to forgive them and then I got to do this. I mean, I've had a pastor before that I knew that one time that it was when I was running a lot out there and I was running. I saw the person. I said, hey, how you doing? And they looked at me like I had four heads. And I looked at them, and I've known them for probably 15, 20 years. I looked at them, and I said, hey, it's Jack Cohen. And they gave me this. Oh, I know who you are. I was like, I know who you're going to be, you know? I mean, this is, and so then you hear something bad about him. You're like, hallelujah, Jesus, get him, right? I'm not alone in this one, am I? And that's a true story, actually. It happens often. You get this. Or even it might be that there's a pastor that's doing really, really well. Or somebody in your job field that's doing really, really well. And you kind of like jealous or you're trying to compare yourself with them. And you don't feel like you measure up to where they are. And then you come home and you turn on that tool of Satan called Facebook or Snapchat. Nobody has, it's a horrible day and I'm a horrible person on those things, do they? Everything's wonderful and peachy and I look the best I do. Look at this filter, you know? I mean, it's all there. And it starts to make you go, you start to compare yourself, don't we? And so we live in this kind of identity crisis where we care more about what people think than about what God thinks about us. It's a bad place to be. I mean, I've been in places where I've been in restaurants and I've seen whole families sit there with this thing in front of them and not even say anything to them. What are they doing? Like, can you please pass the rolls? I don't know what they're saying there, but they don't even talk to each other. And so we're sitting there and I'm watching all these kind of things. Look what it says here. In James chapter 3, it says, but if you harbor any bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. It continues on and says this, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and unspiritual and demonic. You think the Bible has something to say about this? You see, it continues on and says, for where you have envy, selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Every evil practice. That's what gets our soul sick in these comparison areas. So in the next 6 days, remember I gave you 6 days this last week? Anybody remember 6 days? To like clean out the spirit and fill it with the good stuff. And I got to tell you, Monday was awesome for me. Monday was a fantastic day. The rest of the week was the hardest week of my life, and in trying to get the bad stuff out and keep the good stuff in. I'll tell you, I did okay, but the self person here wants to rip somebody's head off, right? And so I'm in this continual battle, but what I did this week was I made a personal, intentional commitment, not to plan for church, but to plan for God and me to spend time together. To really try to get me and God in a good place. So I got up early and I participated in some prayer meetings that I knew or that were online. I got my new Bible. I got to show you this. Look at this. Isn't this awesome? Nice and thin? Nice and thin. And look, it's big print for old eyes. Hallelujah. And somehow, the miracle of God, they got it this small. I don't have to carry around a library. And I got it and I'm excited and I started to read it. God put me in Ezekiel. Why? I have no clue. I'm reading about wheels and feathers and sounds and I'm like, okay, God, what is this? But sometimes he's been telling me some really cool stuff in it. but I'm getting to a point to spend time. There are also times when I wasn't so good, but I'm like, oh no, I gotta clean it out, gotta fill it in. And it's the only thing, I'm gonna tell you, that journey with the Lord this week has been the only thing that kept me sane. The only thing this week, all right? And I'm not doing it to toot my horn. I'm just telling you, I am a mess, and it's only by the grace of God that I made it to today. And I'm serious about this. This isn't just preacher talk, because we got preacher talk, right? I'm just being really serious with all of you right now. You see, the world is very loud. The world is very, very loud. And in case you don't know, every single person on the face of the earth has an opinion. They have an opinion on what you need to do, on how you need to live, on who you need to be. You ever met a non-Christian and you say or do something and say, well, that's not how Christians act. Say, no, it's exactly how Christians act, because I am just like you. I'm just saved by the grace of God, right? That we got to get over that we are perfect, because we are not. There's only one who's perfect. His name is Jesus. And that's the only reason why I get to go into the throne of grace. Anybody here? Oh, yeah. All right, good. Just checking. Okay, so the next 6 days, I want you to apply this to your life as well. And I want you to go ahead and find out who God's telling you. Another one. Here's one. Here's a big one for me. You ready? Here it goes. Starts with an A. Anger. Anger. Anybody in here got an anger problem? There's so much that makes me angry. I will be honest. There was one time this week that I was working out and I wanted to jump off the elliptical and throw something at someone. They were doing something little, but it was driving me absolutely. Anybody ever done something really little that set you off? Please help me today, because I'm feeling alone up here, okay? It was something little, but it was just so annoying. And I'm like, God, please smite them. You know what I mean? Right there? And it's in the Bible. I can use it, okay? So it's there, and it just set me, and I had to stop again. There are two types of anger in this world. There's the loud anger, where you know those people who are boisterous and angry and loud and nasty, and but we got them. But there is another one that I think is even more dangerous, and it's a quiet anger, where people are just quietly angry, and that is prevalent in our society. You know, Psychology Today did a study, and they did an article, and it's called Why Are Americans So Angry? We're angry at the economy, we're angry at politics, we're angry at our family, we're angry at our spouse, we're angry at our job, we're angry at our churches. We are just angry at every single thing on the face of the earth. We are upset about all things. And look at what it says here in James chapter 4. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? And you right now say, I got this answer. That sucker sitting right next to me now. Right? We say, Lord, you know how aggravating they are. And let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, don't they come from your desires and the battle within you? In other words, the question that is asked, hey, what is causing all that anger and frustration? And we say, them and that person and this person. And he says, nope, it's you. It's you. It comes from the battle that is going on within you. Don't blame anybody for our own anger. Usually, when I get angry at people, it has more to do with what's wrong with me than what's wrong with them. And one thing I've learned, in every fight or quarrel or argument I've been in, there's one commonality: me. Every argument, quarrel, fight, disagreement, anger, frustration, yelling match, there's been one thing that's been similar: me. So the scripture's right. The anger doesn't come from out here. Yeah, there's enough stuff to get you angry a little bit, but the boiling point comes from within here. And so we need to go ahead. Everybody good? Anybody getting anything out of this? All right. The NIRV says this: you desire, but you do not have. You want something, but you can't get it. Okay? You want something, but you can't get it. So what do? You kill, and you want what others have, but you can't have it. You can't have what you want. So you argue and you fight, and you don't have what you want because you don't ask God. In other words, we want something. We want people to act a certain way. We want people to do something, and we want something, and we don't get it, and we get aggravated when it happens. We want it our way, time and time and time and time again. Like, for instance, we ride down the road and say, I had the fast lane, and go faster. It's my right. Get. I had the right to a peaceful day, and that dumb dog next door won't shut up. I had the right to that great marriage, and God, you gave me that sucker. Right? Every single thing is because we want, and God says, why don't you have? Because you don't ask him. We don't ask him first. We don't see where he is. You see, you may say, I don't kill and covet. Yeah, we do with our words. We destroy people day in and day out with our words. And you know, I got to tell you, in this role and in teaching, I speak and bring good words. I've also been known to use that in a different way, to cut down, to tear, to destroy, and we can all kind of do that. Number four, here we go. Worry. Worry. Anybody worry? And worry, if we don't get it under control, can manifest, can fester, and come to its nearest cousin, which is fear. And it grows. Worry is basically assuming responsibility for something God never intended for us to be responsible for. You see, we all worry. We all worry. And it's not the fact that we worry, but it's about what we do with that worry and how we handle that in our lives. It's like Mark Twain said, if we worry about something, we're going to have to worry about it twice. We're going to have to worry about it again. It's how we handle worry is where God comes in. Matthew chapter 6, 27 says this. Can one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You know, they've actually done studies and find out that people who worry the most actually have life taken away. And here's the one thing that we miss on this, because a lot of times we focus on what I just said, but it's about this life. We worry about things in this life. And what we need to do is we need to have a refocusing on that we are just passing through this life, those of us who belong to Jesus. And as we're passing through, we are strangers in a strange land. And our citizenship, as the scripture says, is not here, but it's in heaven. And so what's going to happen in this world is going to happen in this world. But one day, I read in the scriptures that every tear will be dried. That there won't be any sorrow or sadness or mourning or any of that stuff that we worry about down here, because he will do what he promised here, to walk with us and go with us and journey with us. And that's something that's really awesome. In Proverbs chapter 4, it tells us to do this. How do we do this? To keep your heart with diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. If our soul is well, then it's going to spring up and bring good things. If it's not, it's going to spring up and hit other things. It's going to affect everything else. So, okay, now it's time to get a soul cleaning. Everybody ready for a soul cleaning? Ready? Everybody ready for a soul cleaning? All right, here we go. Here we go. Again, I could give you 50 of these, but I got them down. All right? So here we go. The first thing that we need to have a good soul cleaning, after we cleaned out a little bit and we're ready to go, is we need right relationships. Right relationships. The God solution to a toxic soul is not just to talk to him about it. But God set up that we do life together. God set up that we are to be in community. That's why we talk about grief share, right? That's why we talk about small groups. It's not so that we can say, hey, we've got 50 people in small groups. I don't care how many people are in small groups. I just think that God has called us to do life together. And last time I checked, life is pretty hard. It really is. And sometimes, just sometimes, when you're trying to seek God's direction in that, for you, for your family, for your life, it seems even harder. Because we're to be in the world, but not of it. And it's a difficult thing to live different from what's acceptable. And as we're working through this, so what do we need? Everybody needs a couple people in your life. A few people in your life. And I have a few people in my life that I can pick up the phone and I can tell them absolutely everything. And they're not going to approach me as Reverend Cohen. They're not going to look at me as Professor Jack Cohen. They're not going to look at me as a husband and father. They're going to look at me as Jack. And they're also going to say, you're like I'm saying, I need people that when my mind and my life is getting ready to do something really dumb, that they can jack me up and say, Jack, uh-uh. No, you do that, we're going to kick your butt spiritually and physically, okay? I need those people in my life. And guess what? You do too. Somehow along the line, one of the greatest tools of the enemy is to make us, when we walk in the door of the church, like, hey, how are you, brother? Good, sister. Oh, how are you? Everything's wonderful. Wonderful. Yay. No, it's not. It's not. And if it is in your life, come see me. I want the magic pill. Because I'm getting hammered every day by Satan. Every day I turn around, there's something there. And he may give me a little breather to think I got it all figured out, and he's going to hit me again. And so you need people in your life to be there for you, to journey with you, but you also need people to hold you accountable in life as well. Most of us don't have those people, what statistics show. If you want, show me your friends and we'll see where your future is what someone once said. James 5 said, if you share with one another and they will pray with you, then you get healed. Yes, we go to God and seek forgiveness, but the healing and restorative process is in community, the community of believers. That's what small groups, that's what things are about. It's not about so we can say, oh, look, we have small groups. It's about how God intended for us to do life together. Look at what it says here in Proverbs chapter 13. I love this statement here. He who walks with the wise grows wise. But a companion of fools is a fool and ends up doing foolish stuff that's going to harm a lot of people. Have you ever done anything foolish in your life? I'm going to tell you, some of the dumbest things I've done have been in community with a bunch of other fools. Some of you are probably there with me. Some of the most godly, powerful things I've ever done have also been with people who are wise and seek God. It's not rocket science, it's God. So I didn't. Next one, you ready? God-defined identity. We need to find our God-identified identity. This is about growth. God made you. And so God alone, the creator, is the only one who can tell you what the purpose he has for your life and what he created you for. Definitely do not listen to your feelings. You know how many people I've talked to over the years, and I say, don't follow your feelings, but I just feel like I need to do this. Don't listen to your feelings. Do not do that. If you do that, it's going to be bad. And you know what they do? Completely ignore me and go into that. And there's been times where I've let my feelings determine my actions, and it gets bad, and it gets worse, and I've complicated the situation because my feelings are all about me. They're all about me. When I seek God's direction, it's all about his desire for my life. And I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying it's easy at all. Definitely don't listen to your feelings to define who you are. You need to listen to God to tell you who you are. If I'm correct here, I would say most of the people in this room have a past. One that if I said, hey, today we're going to show your high school years up on the screen. Friday night, back in 1985, here we go. You're going to get really nervous. Anybody with me? How many of you are so glad that you did not have cell phones back when you were growing up? How many are really nervous because they did? Okay. And guess what? We were actually talking about this last night. The stuff you do in high school, those of you who've been out of high school for a while, and the people who did some things that weren't the best things, doesn't matter whether they're 85 years old, when you go to that reunion, they're still that person. Am I lying? You see, we see people as they are in this world, but that's not who they are in God. Because God tells us, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're my beloved, and I love you. And we need to capture a God-defined identity. We all have a GDI, a God-defined identity, something God intended for us. And if we look at Galatians chapter 6, look at what it says. Make careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. You see, if you don't let God define you, others will. You see, At times, I've seen some of the most amazing preachers. I've sat there and gone, And when I was young, I would try to like pull some of those things like they'd say. Like, you know, like, or something. You know what I mean? Like, anybody ever heard T.D. Jakes? He's got that growl. This is the day the Lord has made people. I say it and it's like, what else you got? You know what I mean? Because I can't be T.D. Jakes. I can't be Rick Warren. But I can be the best Jack Cohen that God has created. Because God has called me to something in this kingdom. And it's not just somebody who has a master of divinity or whatever we have. Somebody who is called to be his son or daughter. God loves you and he made you so that you can grow. Okay, we still good? All right, heading down the home stretch. This is the hardest one, but it helps the most. And it's a very churchy term. We need to begin to live the crucified life. The crucified life. The Bible speaks about this. And what this means is starting every day in life, to put to death that stuff that we know that's going to happen. Like we know that, I know that when I get up and I get out of the shower, that somebody's going to make me mad. Whether in the house or as soon as I walk outside. And if it's not as soon as I walk outside, it's going to be as soon as I get on the road. And if it's not as soon as I get on the road, it's going to be as soon as I get to my destination. Somebody is going to make me mad that day. And so what I need to do is say, God, you know how I am. But God, I need you to have let me forgive somebody right before they tick me off. Because if they tick me off, they're going to tick me off, God. They're going to make me mad. And I'm going to want to throw something at them, God. I'm going to want to yell at them. I'm going to say a bunch of ungodly things in my head or out loud, God. Please forgive me in advance and please help me get my spirit right. I'm going to tell you. If you live like that, it's a great check. We need to put things to death. Look at what Paul says. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Yes, he did. He's writing this. But what he's saying is, it's Christ who lives in me and the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You ever seen dead people? Dead people don't get angry. They don't have unforgiveness. And they don't compare themselves. You know why? Because they're dead. Now, I don't want you to do this, but I'm using it figuratively, so don't go to the next funeral and do this. But if you walk over to a dead person and say, I hate you, then you go, and you're going to go, I hate you too. They're going to be like, why?
They're dead.
So what Paul's saying is we need to be dead to that stuff that's in our souls, that gets in there. We need to die that stuff. We need to clean that stuff out. And not react to it. Look at what he says here in 1 Corinthians. I die every day. Every day I die. So what's your challenge for the next 6 days? Start dying. Start dying every day. Every day. Last one. And our worship team's going to come up. Last one. Earth was never designed to make you happy. I have the best car I've ever had. I've graduated from a yellow Chevette to this really cool Jeep. This Chevette had, like my Jeep now has this leather interior that blows warm and cold air, depending on how you want it, on your rear end. It's a really awesome thing. My Chevette had pleather that you stuck to. It was bright yellow with racing stripes. My pickup line was, I have a yellow vet, and it worked till they got to the parking lot. All right? I like my car. I like the stuff that I have in life. I like my computers. I like my TVs. I like those things. But ain't none of that going to make me happy. Nothing that I have in this world is ever going to make me happy. You know, I can have everything. I can have the mansions. I can have a private jet. I can have all the cars and fleets and all the money and everything well and over. But guess what? If I go to the doctor and I have a terminal diagnosis, all that goes away. Because this earth was not meant to make us happy. And so, if we don't get this one in perspective, we're going to miss it all. And it's going to destroy everything. Earth is not our home. This is not our home. We need to get an eternal perspective in our souls. I was trying to think of how this happened, and I've told this story a little bit one day, and I know, Wayne, if you could just kind of play us in, and we'll go right on in to something a little bit. But I was thinking of a lady back probably almost 20 years ago, and some of you remember her from back in the old Moore's Chapel days. And it was a lady named Layla. And when I first met Layla, she was rough. She was a friend to somebody I love dearly, who kind of took a young minister under the wings. And her sister, Lois, came up to me and said, "My sister just got diagnosed with cancer, and I'd like for you to come over and talk to her with ovarian cancer. And I'd like you to come talk to her. And I'm going to tell you, she's a little rough around the edges." I remember sitting down with her. And as I began to talk to her, she threw out words that I never even heard. And she was angry. She was angry at God. She was angry at me for being there and caring about it. She was angry that her sister even brought there, was there in the first place. And God just led me to just, and you know what? When she was that real, I loved her all the more. Because I realized that in her pain, she was angry in her soul. And I was there, and I was going to get some of the brunt of it. And I laughed with her, and I said, "Well, that's one way to put it." And just to let you know, she began to go through some treatments, and I made a commitment to spend time with her. And we spent time, and she's like, "Hey, you're back." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a glutton for punishment." And we began to talk and share, and I got to know her, and she got to know me, and we got to celebrate one day when she was in remission. And I got to see her start to get closer to God and let some of the anger go away. She had had a son that her sister raised because she was out living the life. And the son wouldn't even talk to her. Matter of fact, one year he gave her a Bible. And he gave her a Bible and said, "Merry Christmas," and it said, "Because this is the only thing that's going to get you right." Her son. As it went on, she was in remission for about 3 months, and then one day I got a call that the cancer was back. And this time it was different. This time we began to spend time together, just she was asking questions about God and about heaven, and I remember that she was getting worse and worse and worse. And we knew where this was headed unless God just totally intervened and healed her physically. And I remember leaving the house at the time and I told Melissa, "I'm going today to talk to Layla about her funeral." I knew it. And I walked in that room as she sat there. And that anger that used to be there, that hatred. I mean, she had been baptized at this point before that. She sat there on that bed, wasting away. And this lady who was so angry and frustrated looked at me across the room as I sat there on the bed with her. And she said, "Jack, I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I want to know what it's like. I want to experience. I wasted so many years of my life I wasted to, and I want to know about heaven." And I said to her, "Layla, it doesn't matter when you get there, because we both know, because you love Jesus, no matter what you did, you're going to be there and enjoy it all. And you better greet me when I get there." And we prayed, and it was 2 days later she died. At the funeral, we did the funeral in Oxford. And there was a time I shared, and I shared some of the stuff we talked about. And there was a time for open sharing. And let me see where it is here. Her son, who was estranged from her for years, stood up, and he had a Bible in his hand. And he said, "I want to let everybody know something. What I'm holding in my hand is a Bible I gave to my mother. Because she lived a life that we were broken for years. And I gave her this Bible and I said, this is the only thing that's going to change you and save you." And then he made a statement I've never heard in my life. And he said, today, I'm thankful for cancer. He said, I'm thankful to cancer because it brought my mom back to me. But more importantly, it made her my sister in Christ. You see, he knew and she knew that that anger and stuff that had crept into her soul from out here, because the world and maybe even some in the church were telling her some other thing, but she came to know that she was a child of God. We started with this verse today, and I want to jump to it from Psalm 42. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God, and soon I'll be praising again. Soon I'll be praising again. So I will do what? That's up to you. You got 6 days. Get that stuff out. Forget unforgiveness, anger, all that comparison. All that stuff is going to do nothing but keep you locked into this world and keep you from being the child of God that God intended. Let's stand today and let's just praise him one more time. Let's just thank him for his goodness. Let's just ask him to come into our souls that we right now might be broken. That in our hearts, God, there's a lot of hurt. There's people in our lives who are making horrible choices and we just see them headed away. God, there's those of us right now who are feeling completely destroyed in our souls. That we've had stuff done to us and we have unforgiveness and we're right in that unforgiveness by this world. But God, you say it's just keeping you bound. And so, Lord, right now, I ask that we do a clean house, that your Holy Spirit that we have welcomed, that we have experienced, that we have asked to come into this place, come into our hearts and just move it all away. Get rid of it so that we can grow closer and be yoked and have fellowship with you as you intended. And so, God, in the remainder of this time, let us know that we are loved. Those of us who feel like we are unloved, let us just feel that love of the Holy Spirit and people around here. Let us know that we were not intended for just this alone. Let us get an eternal perspective that God, no matter what happens, that we can have a joy. There may be somebody in this room who's like Layla who got this diagnosis and they're just angry and they're frustrated and they're hurt, and God, just let them know, hey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because I'm going to journey with you. Draw near to me. The prayers are going up and God, you're hearing them. And even to the point that there's somebody in the sound of my voice, whether now or later, that their anger and their frustration has kept them from even just saying, Jesus, I believe in you and I believe that you're real and I want you to be my Savior, my Lord. And what that means is just, I want you to be the ruler of my life because I can't do it anymore and I'm about ready to give up. Oh God, breathe new life into our souls. Fill them with your Holy Spirit that we can praise and glorify your name. So Father, right now, make it well with our soul. We love you. And we're faulty. And we're failed. And somebody's going to mess with us this day. And 6 days seems like an eternity when we're trying to live for you. But God, just help us put you first. I pray for the prayer meeting that we're taking a step of faith at 6:30 in the morning. And God, it's going to be easy to keep our eyes closed at 6:30 in the morning and focus on you. But God, I just pray that we will connect to you. I don't know what else to say except for just to shut up and let your Holy Spirit move. So God, our altar is always open because it's not ours, it's yours. And an altar is a place where we put to death something. And Paul says, I need to die every day. Let us put it to death so that we can have life for you. God, there's young people here who are getting ready to go back to school. And I pray that they won't let the world define them, but they'll let you define them. That they won't let others define them, but they'll seek your face. So God, do your way and have your will. Amen.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.
live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you.
I have nothing else to say except for, hey, don't forget Wednesday and Saturday. And don't forget 6 days. Because guess what? I could tell you everything. And I could have the words. Jesus said, they said, where do we go? You have the words of life. And so we have the words of life from Jesus, not from me, not from anybody else. And if we never put them into practice, then we're not going to achieve that life. So that's all. I guess I did have something to say. All right. So next week we are going to go ahead and we're going to talk about the body. Body, and so you get to look at this body, right? All right, so we're going to talk about the body and putting that stuff in there. Have a great week. Don't forget to put your prayer cards in at the door. Take some time, write them out, drop them in, and we will be praying over them Wednesday and Saturday. Please go ahead. And also, we will have prayer guides. If you're scared of prayer, we have them, and we will also have them for children. So if you have children with you, bring them. We're planning for everything. God bless. Have a great week.